to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Edna J. White. I know that I am so very late to send you a podcast, but I've been having some personal deaths in the family and having to deal with that. And I'm so happy and excited that I can do this today, of all things, coming after the string of deaths and sharing with you. Today's topic is going to be about living your real self, living your truth. And I know this is off time, because usually I come to you at 7 p.m., but I'm coming to you this morning after the death of DMX, and before then, my aunt, my uncle passed away, and my aunt passed away, who lived here in New York, and actually lived a couple of blocks from me. She was very instrumental in bringing me up and giving me sisterly advice and guiding me in certain instances. And then we kind of not fell apart, but agreed to disagree on a religious subject that was not loving and kind for me, but was something that she believed to be true. And so we accepted that and still loved each other. And then there was one of my best friends, her daughter passed away at a very young age, with a condition that was kind of hidden within her body. And then, of course, DMX. So, in my sadness and my process of grief for these deaths in my life that kind of affected me in each area of my life, I started thinking, what is it that I'm supposed to learn from all of this? What am I supposed to learn from my aunt and my uncle's death, who are only 2 weeks apart? What am I supposed to learn from my best friend's daughter passing? What am I supposed to learn from DMX? And DMX kind of culminated it all, because he, to me, was the epitome of what preachers, bishops, elders are supposed to be. They're supposed to be clear, and they're supposed to show them their true selves. And he showed him his true self of, he had frailties, he had things that were not acceptable to the society, community, and he worked with that. And he brought about beauty. He created, he was a producer, he changed the trajectory of rap music. He did something to change that, even though he had those frailties. See, the thing with us humans, or not us humans, but our, the thing with us, we pretend so much that we build all these masks up, and we cling on to these things that make no sense and that give us no value. It just gives us a feel-good moment or a time or an era, like religion does. It gives us a feel-good moment, but it really doesn't give us a trajectory. It doesn't give us a change. What religion does is makes us feel like we're better than other people and makes us feel like we're going to a place that we're supposed to be, was kind of described to us, and makes us think with ego instead of with a pure sense of love that God gives. Because if we look at it, God loves everybody. Religion teaches us it doesn't love everybody. There's a place for this person and a place for that person. And that's not what God is about. DMX taught about that. My aunt and I had that disagreement 4 years ago. About 4 years ago. And the last words to her from me were, let's agree to disagree on this particular subject. Let's just, that's something that we need to let it go and be who we are to each other. And we agreed to do that. Although it was, and she admitted to me, it was kind of hard and difficult for her because it was like, how can someone agree to disagree? And we talked through it for about an hour, and I told her, I learned to do that. See, I was living with my perpetrator, so I had to forgive on a very second-by-second moment. And that's why I have the ability to forgive or to forget about what doesn't matter. And that had become my, it was ingrained in me because I had to learn to forgive constantly and forget constantly. So with, even with my friend's daughter's death, I knew her when she was like, I want to say like 20, 21. And I remember her getting excited about, she was moving to a boyfriend's house. And it wasn't a great feeling for her mom. She didn't agree with it. And she was not happy with it. But, you know, she knew that she had to make her own journey. So when I had come over to the house, I met this family selling their home, you know, because I'm a realtor. So, I met them that way, and they became, instantly, we became connected, and we've became friends, and we're still friends to this day, and that was in 1999, and I remember her getting ready to go, and she had this little kind of crappy car, and, you know, I was parked in front of her, and she said, could you move up a little bit, you know, and she was the sweetest thing, very excited, very smart. The next time I kind of saw her in her blossom was, she was helping the HIA, the manufacturing organization, set up. And she was very intelligent. She used to put things together in the community. Very, very, very smart and efficient, very efficient. And when I met her again, or saw her in her element, she was very astute. She was very caring about the people that she invited. And she made sure things were set up correctly and everyone was kind of happy where they were, because it was a networking event for those that had products and small business owners. And it was a great collective of people. And she had met a young black woman pilot who was in the army, and she was, I think she was about, I want to say she was about 33, and she flew there in a helicopter, and she was outside, and we were talking to her. I was so very impressed with this woman. And she said, yeah, we met in school, and then she decided to go to service. But we met in school. I called her to see if she would come for this event, and she came. And she had such this both of them together. I had to take a picture of them together, that it was impressive that they had a friendship still. And I said, this is what friendship is about. Literally, she was in the service, got the okay to come there to be at this event and to be able to represent a young, strong Black woman who's doing something out of the box, out of the ordinary, out of, you know, the community's purview of what success was. And she was doing her first. And I thought, wow, she impressed upon me the most. That experience that my best friend's daughter brought to me impressed upon me more than any jewelry, anything that was going on inside. That was the takeaway for me. And I was so very, very impressed. And it impressed on my soul. That was one of the events that my best friend's daughter brought to me. And then her strength in battling something she knew nothing about. Battling and persevering, the strength of her body to battle and go through. And then finally say, I'm tired, and kind of let go and not worry about that stuff. That ability to do that showed me that there's a duality to all of this, to learning all of this. The same with my aunt. You know, my aunt knew that she was tired, and she didn't want to stay too long without her other half, her husband. And she knew that her time was limited, and she put an effort into and her actions into, her steps into, whether she was limited in learning or she could learn just a little bit for the first step, she did that. She showed me that. And she tried her best. She did her best. Even in her limited belief, she took the first step. And she said, you know what? You're right. Let's agree to disagree. And still, we had conversations, we laughed, we planned, we confided in each other, and it was awesome to the very, very, very end. And we would text, because she was so excited about texting, and I showed her how to text, and it was off and running after that. The texting was off and running. My last text was the day that she passed away, and I said, how are you today? Because I had texted her the day before. Then I showed her how to voice record. And I said, how are you today? And I didn't get a text back. And I knew. And I said, this is not good. And I began to get upset and, you know, start to get emotional about it. And I said, I will miss her. But I wanted to celebrate the good moments that we had. So I'm learning that the celebration has to happen, because the tears come because we didn't do much. We didn't, you know, sometimes that in between all of that crying and the sobbing and the, all of this is a whole lot of me or our own emotions, what we didn't do or shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And I didn't want that, because I spoke truth to her. She spoke truth to me. And there was no, like, hovering secret, because it was going to be a hovering secret when we're discussing what we're discussing. And I said, no, let's talk about the elephant in the room, because we're not going to talk over that. And that's one thing that I did have with her, that we're not going to talk over secrets. Secrets ruin lives. Secrets tear people apart. Secrets come back and reveal themselves wholeheartedly, and it destroys. If anything comes back, like a vengeance, is secrets. If anything comes back in your life is untruth. Untruth will crucify your family, will kill your family. that's one thing that I had decided, because I know that in my life, truth was not part of it. You know, down to my name, truth was not part. And that's another story. But down to my name, truth was not part of that. And I had decided when I became 23, I think it was, of 24, truth would be part of my life. Truth had to come, even if I choked telling the truth. Even if I welled up with crying, I had to tell the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the brutal truth of what you think, but the truth of the matter, the underbelly, not about what your truth is, not about that, the underbelly of what a discussion is really about. We have people telling truth. You know, they'll tell you, you look like this, you don't look good. That's not the truth I'm talking about. So you don't look great in purple. That's none of my business. So you don't look good with an afro. Still none of my business. Say you don't look great in blonde hair. Still none of my business. The truth of the matter is, when you're having a communication, which is two-way, or a relationship with someone, which is two-way, you have to speak about what's brewing under, if you have a disagreement or a misunderstanding or trouble or a secret, what's brewing under that? Speak about that, your perception of what it is. And if you asked a question, like what's going on in our relationship, answer it truthfully. See, that's what I've learned through all of this. My uncle and aunt's death, my best friend's daughter's death, and DMX. Truth. Be real with yourself. Be real in how you speak. The other day, someone's talking to me about, you know, they posted something I had posted regarding something that was racially motivated, and I spoke about it, and I had posted it on my page on LinkedIn, and I said, not many people talk about the subject, and what happens is you don't get any likes or dislikes because everybody's scared to kind of say anything. But when you're scared, that means you're scared to say it truthfully, how you feel, and what matters, you are concerned about what other people think about what you say. And if it's the truth, you won't be afraid. So I said to her, be careful of people who have silence of any of these subjects. Because it was about systemic racism. So be careful about that. Because when there's silence, that speaks louder than anybody. Even in if you have those moments you don't want to be antisocial, it speaks volume. Because it's showing other people, oh, are you mad at me? You're silent. See, DMX spoke his truth. His truth. He didn't speak about you. He spoke about himself. It was his story. His lyrics were that was his story. It wasn't your story. It wasn't a group of people's story. It was his story. That's why it made an impact. That's why it changed the trajectory of rap music, because it was his story. And that's what you get history from. His story. So even if we look back in the Bible and we read from the history of the Bible, it comes from the perspective of the person that is reading it or that is writing it, his story. When we want to be written in the book of life, we have to change the trajectory of whatever we are or whatever we're doing. That makes it life. And that gives it life. It gives your history or her story life. It becomes a book. It becomes change for somebody. It becomes change for the world. That's where you want to be. Not walking around here trying to change other people, because you can't. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you pray. It's got to be that it's in the interest. Prayer, see, prayer, all of this has taught me prayer is for that person who's praying, for them for change. Not you to call God on them to change them. Do you get that? Do you really get that? This life that we're living, this moment that we're here, has to be trajectory. It has to make changes. You can't change someone in your prayer, so stop it. Stop praying for them. You have to affirm strength with your mouth. If they're going through grief, not prayers, but, you know, I send you my strength, your energy. I send you my strength, your strength for your family and healing for your family. And you let it go because you don't know what they're going through because you're not them. Even if you did have a sibling or husband or father or mother pass away, you still don't know what they're feeling. You've experienced it in your way. That's what the difference was. They all had a story, and we had to read that story, and we had to see where they created that trajectory in the lives of the people that they're around. I hope you got something out of this today. I will tell you that I'm excited now more so than ever to complete this book called The Four Pillars of Life. And I know that this will make a tremendous impact on people's lives because it will ring true. It will ring true to you, and it will help you discover areas you need to continue to heal in. And I want you all that is listening today to please, please, please subscribe, comment, or send me an email at ednajwhite11@gmail.com on anything or any topic you want to talk about. And if you'd like to come on and talk about it with me, I'd be so happy to do that. Let's consider doing that, because partnerships and relationship building is all about let's talk together. Let's chat together. This is Edna J. White, and you are listening to Keeping It Real on Purpose. See you next time. No, not see you next time. Listen, or I'll hear you, or I'll see you chatting next time. Thank you so much for joining me today. Bye for now.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BV Jobs to 97211 to apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. it would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.